Thank you, Jonga Kandemiri. Good evening, Zimbabwe. You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America on Monday, March 21st, 2016. Thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Chris Gande.
And I'm Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye.
Here are our top stories this evening.
Zimbabwe police raid MDCT headquarters and arrest 21 activists suspected to have assaulted a ZANU-PF supporter in Harare.
As we can see right now, there is chaos in the party. And after Mugabe, I don't think the party will succeed. There are so many issues that are arising from the party.
Some Zimbabweans say the current factionalism in ZANU-PF is an indication that the party will disintegrate when President Mugabe leaves office.
They raided the harvest house, got into the building floor to floor, and fished out members of staff, including people who are working in our card processing center, where we are processing membership cards for our members. They went there, they took those people, they also raided the president's office, which is the 5th floor of Harvest House, before proceeding to the 6th floor, which is the Secretary General's office, or put the administration office.
And vendors vowed to stay put in Gweru following council orders for them to leave the central business district.
These stories and much more coming up. Stay tuned.
The Zimbabwe Republic Police today raided the offices of the Opposition Movement for Democratic Change formation led by Morgan Tsvangirai, arresting 21 party activists, staff and one lawmaker on allegations of assaulting a ZANU-PF supporter in Harare at the weekend. Only one of the activists is still in police custody in connection with another assault incident. Party Secretary General Douglas Monzora told a journalist that police told them they wanted the activists to appear on an identification parade so that the assault victim could identify his attackers. Monzora said armed police in 8 trucks stormed the Harvest House's office in the morning and searched all the offices, including Changirai's offices, before rounding up the workers.
They raided the Harvest House, got into the building floor to floor, and fished out members of staff, including people who are working in our card processing center, where we are processing membership cards for our members. They went there, they took those people, they also raided the president's office, which is the 5th floor of Harvest House, before proceeding to the 6th floor, which is the Secretary General's office, or put the administration office.
That was Douglas Monzora, MDCT Secretary General, speaking with Studio 7 from Harare.
Some war veterans say a planned meeting with President Robert Mugabe early April is expected to shape the future of Zimbabwe and the ruling ZANU-PF party. This follows an abortive meeting which was supposed to be held in Harare a few weeks ago and was disrupted by police. The war veterans were expected to discuss, among many issues, President Mugabe's succession. We will give you more details of this story tomorrow. In a related development, some Zimbabweans in the country's Maswingo province say ZANU-PF is likely to disintegrate when President Robert Mugabe leaves office. They argue that the current factionalism in the party is an indication that conflicts over the succession of the 92-year-old president may degenerate into civil war if not properly handled by the ruling party. Our correspondent Gandri Maramba reports from the provincial capital.
Some local people say the nonagenarian leader should be widely blamed for creating the current chaos in the party, as he has failed to groom a successor. They say no one in the party leadership appears determined to settle the political conflicts over Mr. Mugabe's succession, even the person takes over from the president when he finally leaves office. The president's lieutenants, Vice President Pelekezela Mpoko and Emmerson Mnangagwa, are in 2 camps within the party fighting over his succession. Mpoko is allegedly backing a group of young Turks known as Generation 40, which wants Mr. Mugabe's wife Grace to succeed him, while the other faction operating under the name Team Lacoste is said to be led by Mnangagwa. Vice President Mnangagwa is also allegedly being supported by war veterans, whose leader Christopher Mtsangwa has already been ejected from government and ruling party for insulting the first family and undermining the authority of President Mugabe. Caroline Garwe of Zaka District says she does not believe that there is anyone who can take over the leadership of ZANU-PF and keep it intact, as there will be a lot of chaos and a lot of fighting by presidential aspirants.
Personally, I can't say there's someone who's going to take over ZANU-PF. So as we can see right now, there is chaos in the party. And after Mugabe, I don't think the party will succeed. There are so many issues that are arising from the party. So taking over from that position, I don't think it will happen. Let's take, for instance, for now, he hasn't even named the successor for the party. So I don't think that will happen.
Her views are supported by Ernest Tirwan of Kutu, who says the ruling party will not last when President Mugabe leaves office because he is the only binding force. He says ZANU-PF supporters fear Mr. Mugabe and no one can keep the supporters together like him.
I don't think ZANU-PF will last much longer after President Robert Mugabe has left power. If you look at the current situation which is happening in ZANU-PF, they say Mugabe is the only center of power, meaning that most party supporters, they only fear him. If you look at the squabbles that are happening in ZANU-PF, whereby there are two factions, one being fronted by the Emmerson Mnangagwa and the other one by the G40, what they call the G40, you find all those cutters, they don't have much respect with the grassroots supporters. I don't think ZANU-PF will ever, if Mugabe leaves power, there's no one who will be able to hold ZANU-PF as what Mugabe is doing right now. Also, if you look at the current ZANU-PF, the leadership which are eyeing to replace Robert Mugabe, they don't have support.
Other local people also feel that the country will plunge into a political crisis when Mr. Mugabe leaves, as warring factions are likely to engage in physical fights, which could attract the attention of armed forces. They say since members of the army appear to be begging different people in the ZANU-PF succession wars, this may ultimately degenerate into a civil war if not properly handled by the ruling party. Local resident Takawafira Joe, who is the president of the Progressive Teachers Union of Zimbabwe, says President Mugabe is to blame for the confusion in the ruling party. Joe says Mr. Mugabe has over the years failed to groom a successor, and as a result, the country should brace for a growing conflict over his succession.
With the collapse of the center, that of course is no longer holding, I think there will be a lot of squabbles. There will be serious struggle between Lacoste and G40. But what I foresee also is another element is the army. The army would likely come in and also play an important role. And in the event that Mugabe dies today, whoever has the support of the army would carry the day. But it's most likely that in the event that Mugabe dies, Mnangagwa may emerge victorious on the basis that he has a long history and intercourse with the army. But at the same time, we must also look at Sidin Sekeramai, who is now defense minister. So either Mnangagwa or Sidin Sekeramai are likely to emerge as the successors of the confusion. But what I foresee is there is a likelihood that there could even be civil war in the event that Mugabe dies. And the best Mugabe should do is to name a successor. Of course, Mugabe has a successor, and the successor is Sidin Sekeramai.
Joe Feather says the First Lady will not have a relevant role to play after her husband leaves office and is likely to disappear from the political scene.
When you look at ZANU-PF, you can't dismiss that the only strength of ZANU and ZAPU is the liberation struggle. As long as this generation of the liberation fighters exist, we don't expect someone like Dr. Grace Mugabe to succeed. I think that would be foolhardy. It's unacceptable. Grace Mugabe's political relevance is just based on Mugabe. With the death of Mugabe, Grace will disappear and she will be irrelevant. And she is not also a presidential material. And in fact, even the leadership of the women, I think it was unfortunate that they gave her that position because she does not deserve that position.
But a local ZANU-PF youth leader, who is also the National Youth Service Public Relations Officer, Mr. Talent Majoni, dismissed as beer talk the claims that the ruling party is set to die, saying the party is there to rule forever, even after the Mugabe era.
ZANU-PF is a revolutionary movement, and we cannot talk of president retiring as of now or his succession because in a revolution, we have adopted the Juche revolution of Korea. And as we have adopted the Juche revolution of Korea, in a revolutionary movement, it have its own procedures that have to be followed. And we respect the sitting president and is the revolutionary icon. For example, you know, if we talk about Pan-Africanism, there are founding fathers who were there and their revolutionary parties are power as of now. So, for instance, our party is rejuvenating. For example, you can see in all structures, see the young blood. We have National Youth Service graduates. They've been instilled revolutionary thinking, the Boboism. ZANU-PF is not going to die, and ZANU-PF will be in power forever because it's a revolutionary movement.
But most outsiders believe that the ruling party will collapse as soon as Mr. Mugabe leaves office. The president has ruled the country for more than 35 years. Reporting for Studio 7 in Masvingo, I am Kandri Maramba.
Young people out there, are you concerned about the many issues that affect you and Zimbabweans in general? Rise to the occasion. Make an impact. Let your voice be heard, and let's get talking on The Connection.
We cover a range of issues that affect young people, including unemployment, health, education, politics, and much, much more.
I am Tatenda Gumbo.
And I'm Tungamili Nkomo.
And we are the hosts for your number one youth forum, The Connection.
On our show tomorrow, we take a look at programs being carried out by non-governmental organizations in the rural areas to empower rural youths.
Remember, every Tuesday at 8:30 p.m., let your voice be heard and spread the word.
To get involved, send us a message with the hashtag TheConnection on WhatsApp. The number is 001-202-465-0318.
The Vendors Initiative for Social and Economic Transformation says its members will not heed calls by the Gweru City Council to vacate their current vending sites in the Central Business District. Samuel Wadzai of the Vendors Association say they condemn in strongest terms calls by the acting Gweru Town Clerk, Edgar Mwezi, for members to pull out of the city centre without first being allocated alternative vending sites.
Wadzai says this comes as a surprise as they are still engaged in consultations and negotiations with the council. The move is expected to affect almost 4,000 vendors. Studio 7 failed to reach the acting town council for a comment, but Wadzai tells reporter Jonga Kandemiri they will resist council moves to remove them from the Gweru city centre.
Obviously, we cannot comply with such an unconstitutional move by Gweru City Council. The move is against what the Constitution says in Section 24, Section 64 and Section 13, which basically talks about the need for the government and all its agencies to support self-initiatives and trade. This speaks clearly to what we are doing as informal traders. That's the first reason why we are not going to comply. The second reason is that we have not been consulted by the Gweru City Council of this move. We are just hearing these threats through the media that they want to take this move to relocate or to force us to evict us from our current spaces. But we are saying no. We expect them to give us proper alternatives, and we expect the same alternatives to have all the facilities, because this is what we have already agreed with them.
Were you paying any rentals to the council?
Yes, yes, I can confirm that we are paying these rates, despite the fact that we have been complaining about the rates being exorbitant. But we have been paying religiously these rentals, and we expect the same to be used to speed up the process of constructing proper facilities for us to use as vendors. But nothing has been done, and they are dragging. The problem is with them, not with vendors. Until and unless they provide proper facilities, we are going to continue operating in the Central Business District. That we can assure them.
That was Samuel Wadzai, director of the Vendors Initiative for Social Economic Transformation, speaking with Studio 7's Chonga Kandemiri from Harare. Right now, here's a look at regional and international news.
Vote counting is underway in the Republic of Congo, but information is scarce as the government has blocked all phone and internet use in the country.
And the International Criminal Court has found former Congolese Vice President Jean-Pierre Bemba guilty on 5 counts of war crimes and crimes against humanity. A 3-judge panel in The Hague ruled unanimously that Bemba was criminally responsible for acts of murder, rape, and pillage carried out by his militia in the Central African Republic in 2002 and 2003.
You're listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America in Washington. We're broadcasting on the 909 medium wave and on the 4930, 5940 and 15455 shortwave frequencies.
Zimbabwe joined the international community today in commemorating World Down Syndrome Day, which is observed in more than 60 countries. Many organizations and communities, including the United Nations and the Down Syndrome International, promote World Down Syndrome Day to raise people's awareness and understanding of Down Syndrome. Today marks the 11th anniversary of World Down Syndrome Day. The theme for this year, 2016, is My Friends, My Community, Benefits of Inclusive Environments for Today's Children and Tomorrow's Adults. Zimbabwe Down Syndrome Volunteers Association Coordinator Sifusisiwe Boni Mazula, based in Makokoba, Bulawayo, encourages Zimbabweans to face the reality of prevailing negative attitudes associated with Down Syndrome. Mazula speaks with Studio 7's Chiwoniso Jani how children and adults with Down Syndrome can coexist with their peers.
Down syndrome can happen to anybody. It's caused by a chromosome. A normal human being has got 46, and somebody with Down syndrome has got an extra chromosome, which is 47. It can affect anybody. Doesn't matter race, color, and there's nobody to blame. You cannot blame the mother. You cannot blame the father before a pregnancy or after. It's a genetic condition.
Can you tell us what a person with Down syndrome goes through?
A person with Down syndrome goes through a lot of discrimination, stigmatization. And sometimes when a family finds that a child with Down syndrome is born, in most cases, they don't want to know about child. At the same time, they are away from you as a parent. You are left alone. And the community attitude towards you is very negative, very discriminating.
Please tell us the developmental stages of someone with Down syndrome.
We do have people with Down syndrome who are also physically disabled. Their development is depends on the child, depends on the environment, depends on the family, how they treat it for her or him to develop. Because if the child is ignored, the child doesn't get education. The child doesn't get the love. By the end of the day, that child is almost lost.
What programs are in place to help children with Down syndrome?
We do have schools where children with Down syndrome go. But our worry is, are they getting the quality education which is being given to every child? Do the teachers have the experience to teach children with Down syndrome everywhere in Zimbabwe? We have still got a long way as Zimbabweans to reach that point where every child with a learning disability or with a Down syndrome to get the quality education they are supposed to get.
Can you explain to us the characteristics of someone with Down syndrome?
They differ in their characteristics. They differ in their development. It depends on where they are. Some can read, some cannot read. Some can go to school at inclusive class and learn. At the same time, depends on their stage, depends on their IQ. It depends on what education they're getting there.
As a mother with a daughter who's 31, who has Down syndrome, what are your challenges and fears that you are going through?
When she was born, I didn't even know what Down syndrome was until somebody said people with Down syndrome are called, were called Mongols, which was like an insult. Is she going to have friends? Is she going to get married one day? You know, is she going to work? Is she going to be independent? You know, things like that. But as time went by, I realized that the environment we live in, they don't know much about people with Down syndrome.
And what do you believe the community should do for people with Down syndrome, and how can they support?
The community should accept people with Down syndrome as they are. Before they underestimate what they can do, let's give them the opportunity of going to school. Let's give them the opportunity of getting a job.
So what plans to fund the organization?
Funding is almost zero. We are not getting any funding at all. We find it very difficult as a parent organization. Because there are some cases whereby funders or donors for a donation, I have what parents want behind me when I sit with parents. They want their children to go to school. Is there somebody there who can say, okay, Zimbabwe Down syndrome, we are funding you to take children to school. We are funding a youth program. We don't have those funds. We cannot even reach people with Down syndrome who are out there, who need the information we have, who need somebody to talk to. But we are working so hard. We are trying, regardless of not having funds. As parents, they should know their rights. They should know where to go when they come across cases of rape, cases of abuse.
Do you feel the government of Zimbabwe is supporting people with Down syndrome?
Not to the extent we want them to. If the government would help us, we would do a lot for people with Down syndrome, especially when it comes to education. Because children with Down syndrome should go to school at an early age for stimulation. They may support us with maybe some policies. Sometimes the policies are not implemented. We have to fight for a policy to be implemented, especially the inclusive education policy. Is it effective as it is? Are the children benefiting from the policy?
That was Sivusisiwe Mazula, coordinator of the Zimbabwe Down Syndrome Volunteers Association, speaking there with Studio 7's Shoneso Jani from Zimbabwe's second largest city, Bulawayo.
U.S. President Barack Obama is meeting with Cuban President Raul Castro in Havana, where the two leaders are expected to discuss ways to advance normalization and areas of disagreement, such as human rights. President Obama began the second day of his three-day visit with laying a wreath ceremony at the monument of Cuban independence hero José Martí, at the Plaza of the Revolution. He then walked to the nearby Revolutionary Palace, where he was greeted by Castro with a formal ceremony. Obama made history Sunday as the first sitting U.S. president in nearly 90 years to visit the island nation. The U.S. president is scheduled to meet with a range of people, from government leaders to young people, entrepreneurs, members of civil society, and dissidents. Zimbabwean Alex Magaisa, a university lecturer based in London, who visited Cuba last year, says Zimbabweans have a lot to learn from relations between Cuba and the United States. Magaisa, however, cautions that Zimbabwe can only re-engage the West under a new leadership, as the current ruling elite is not interested in changing its political rhetoric.
I think it's a significant development. I think it's important to learn from the way other nations deal with problems that are similar to ours. We are currently a pariah state, mostly, you know, with regards to the West. And I think there are problems. Yes, there are problems, but they are not problems that cannot be solved. And I think Cuba shows us that even after so many years, decades and decades, still possible to find a solution. And I think that there's a bright future for Cuba. And I think people like us in Zimbabwe should also take lessons from that to see that it's possible to resolve challenges and move forward.
But what can Zimbabwe do to be in such a position like where we find Cuba today? Can Zimbabwe really re-engage with other Western countries like the U.S.? And can we see a president from the U.S. visiting Zimbabwe?
It's not impossible. The principle that they refer to in international relations all the time is that international relations are about permanent interests. There's no permanent friendship. So it's not about friendship. It's about realigning our interests and ensuring that our interests are covered. Zimbabwe has its challenges with the U.S., has its challenges with other countries in the West. And the source of the problem, they need to be dealt with. You know, issues about the way in which we have done things. It is not to say that Zimbabwe takes 100% of the blame. I think there are also challenges, things that the West has to look at. But there has to be a point at which both parties will stop demonizing each other, and they will try and find a solution. But that solution has to be grounded on developments within Zimbabwe itself. You know, our system, democracy, human rights, and all sorts of things. These are critical things.
That was Alex Magaisa, a political analyst and university lecturer, speaking with Studio 7 from the United Kingdom.
And in sports news, it was a weekend of mixed fortunes for Zimbabwean football. The Mighty Warriors sailed through to the final round of the 2016 African Women's Championships at a time when Harare City were eliminated from the CAF Confederations Cup. Our reporter Michael Kariati has more details.
The Mighty Warriors started to 1-0 draw against Tanzania, but still sailed through to the next round following their 2-1 away win 2 weeks ago. However, Mighty Warriors coach Shadrack Mlauzi thinks his team did not play well at home and should go a gear up against Zambia in their next and final qualifying round.
It was quite a difficult game. We knew that we were up against it. We were up against a good team, technically sound, predominantly counter-attacking. And again, today we were not at our best, really, given what the manner in which we played.
According to Captain Felicitas Mzongondi, they need to utilize all the scoring opportunities that will come their way if they are going to sail through to the finals.
I think we have to utilize our scores. We didn't utilize some of the chances which were obvious chances. So I think when we go back at training, we are going to work more on that, even also on defending.
At the same time, Harare City lost 3-1 to Zambia's Zanaco in a CAF Confederation Cup encounter. They lost 5-2 on goal aggregate. However, coach Chaurai Mangwiro said they created enough chances which could have seen them come out victors.
So we had two very good opportunities to have gone further up. We did not manage to do so. And they got stronger towards the end. And it was unfortunate. We just crumbled.
Former Zimbabwe champions Islanders are through to the finals of the Zimbabwe National Army Charity Shield after overcoming FC Platinum 4-3 on penalties. The two teams had ended the game 1-0 in regulation time. Focus now shifts to Zimbabwe's Africa Cup of Nations qualifier against Swaziland on Friday. The full Zimbabwean squad is expected in camp by tomorrow. Reporting for Studio 7 in Harare, this is Michael Kariati.
Stay tuned for Studio 7 Live Talk at 8:30 p.m. Today, our hosts Blessing Zulu and Gibbs Dube will be talking with listeners and experts about war veterans' planned meeting with President Robert Mugabe as factionalism continues in the ruling ZANU-PF party.
And now to recap today's top stories.
Zimbabwe police raid MDCT headquarters and arrest 21 activists suspected to have assaulted a ZANU-PF supporter in Harare.
And some Zimbabweans say the current factionalism in ZANU-PF is an indication that the party will disintegrate when President Mugabe leaves.
That's our broadcast this evening.
And now stand by for Studio 7 in Ndebele. This is Chris Gande. Good night.
And I'm Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye, wishing you a pleasant evening and a very good night.